Well, it's a joy to be with you this Sunday. I know it's a surprise for many of you to see me here rather than those who normally fulfill the pulpit. But today is our very first Sunday as we begin our walk again in the summer, as we've often done, walking through the Psalms. So, which is somewhat unusual, you get to hear me first, rather than Pastor Rod or Dennis. So I pray that God will allow me to speak his words and hopefully will touch your lives as well. So we're going to be looking at Psalm 121. And if you can get your Bibles ready for that, it would be very helpful. Psalm 121 is a song of ascent, which refers to, there's actually 15 songs of ascent, right? Traditionally, they are sung by a pilgrimage. Now, think about this, a pilgrimage that is heading to Jerusalem for a festival. You're going to worship, and so you're walking this long distance for this festival. It has themes of faith, trust in God, and hope for deliverance. These are the themes that are a part of these particular psalms. But I want you for just a moment to imagine. Imagine heading to Jerusalem for the festival and traveling with many of your provisions for this long trip. Your goal is to travel with many of your friends and family. This trip to Jerusalem is on foot. If you are fortunate, you may have a mule or a donkey to carry your provisions, or perhaps even a cart. But you and your family would be walking. Today, many of our young people would say, let's just call an Uber, right? But at that time, there was no such thing. There's no cell phones. There's nothing but you walking to Jerusalem. But what if there's some challenges on the way? Who do you call? Because you didn't get started as you wished you had gotten started, you're now 3 hours or so behind the rest of the group that's already left, heading to Jerusalem. But now you are by yourself, you and your family, and your provisions. You're heading to Jerusalem. You're looking at the hills, and you're wondering, is it going to be safe? Part of you thinking, you're like, okay, it is 12, and we've not yet left. The sun is beating down on us. Am I going to make it to Jerusalem? Or let's say you leave at 6 in the evening. Now you're worried about, am I going to get there before the sun goes down? And we have to face the cold of the evening. These are some of the challenges that you may be facing as you're walking to Jerusalem. You're going for a great purpose, but yet there's some apprehension that you may be facing. Will me and my family get there safely? Let us look at Psalm 121. This is how it reads. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He will keep you. He who keeps you will not slumber, but he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Father, I ask for your help this morning. I ask that you would help me speak clearly the truth of your word, that my spirit would be calm, that I will be able to read and proclaim your truth clearly. But I also pray for the listeners here that they will see you and not me, that you would be honored, that you would be lifted up, that we would better understand who you are, and that we would find our hope in you and you alone. So we thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity to share the truth of your word this morning. Give us ears to hear that in which we need to hear this morning. My proposition for today is keeping your eyes focused on the one who keeps you. Keeping your eyes on the one who keeps you. My first point is keeping your eyes focused. Keeping the right focus. When life brings us many challenges, it's natural to look somewhere and to someone for help. Many look to our families and friends and even the government for that help. These challenges come in many different forms today. But what are you to do when the challenges are beyond the help of the ones you are seeking help from? What do you do then? What do you do when they've even said, I will help you, I will come alongside you, but they forget? They have their own challenges in life. They have their own troubles in life. And even though, yes, you're in desperate need of help, they forget you. What do you do then? To whom do you turn? In our psalm, our psalmist asks a question. He says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? You see, in our desperation, we are looking for someone to help us. With the question asked, you might think there's no one there to help them. But is that actually true? So what are you to do? Do we continue looking to the hills for that help when that may be the areas of our fear and our trouble? I think this is where many of us get stuck. We are looking for someone else to rescue us. We have our difficulties in life. We have our frustrations. In fact, we might think about it this way. I have a wayward child. Will someone help me and my child? In fact, I have a marriage that is failing. Will someone come alongside and fix my spouse and help me. Or we might say, I have health issues. Will someone help me? The psalmist looks at the hills, but then he turns his focus to the only true helper. He says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. No longer is he looking to the hills, but beyond those hills, to the very person who made the hills in which he's looking at. He's looking beyond that. He has changed his focus. You see, if we focus only on our problems, it will be very difficult for us to see the one who can actually help us. And we see the same theme in Isaiah 40, 28. It reads, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. I think one of the things you and I have to grapple with, there are some things that no one can change or help you with but the Lord himself. There are some things that no one can help you with but the Lord himself. Are you willing to accept that? Or will you continue to look to the hills or look to somebody else to help fix your situation? Yes, you could have challenges in your health, in your marriage, wayward children. You can't fix that. But you serve a God who can help you in that area. The psalmist goes on to say, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The psalmist is saying that the Lord is the one that gives you a firm foundation to stand on, regardless of life's challenges and the problems you may be facing. He will keep you. It's interesting. Last week, we talked about the two builders. Think about this. One builder was wise, and yet one was foolish. One built his house on a firm foundation, and yet the other built it on sand. Each of them had difficulties in life, challenges. Scripture says that there was a storm that beat on the house. But yet one and only one stood and did not fall. Why? Because it rested on a firm foundation. You and I have a foundation in which we can lean on, to trust in, to find our hope in. The question would be, what are you building your house on today? When you think about Israel, you can see this wavering, because sometimes in our lives, we believe God for a moment, but then we don't. We go this back and forth. And the children of Israel were the same way. They believed at time and didn't believe at time. From rebellion, forgetting God, to captivity. And God's judgment, and then God rescuing them. The psalmist says, he who keeps Israel does not slumber. The Israelites were a people who wavered in their commitment and devotion to following God. But God continued to show himself faithful even in their rebellion. I'm reminded of this story in 1 Kings 18, 20 through 39. It's interesting. Elijah is talking to the Israelites, and he says, "How long will you go on limping between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him." And Elijah, as we might say in our day, had a, what do I call it? Showdown. In the showdown, he told the prophets of Baal, "All right, you think your God is so bad? Let's have a showdown. You prepare an altar, and you pray to your God, and if he answers by fire, he is God." So they prepared their altar, they prepared the sacrifice, they got everything together as they were supposed to. They prayed, they screamed, they hollered, they danced, they did all these things trying to get their God to answer. After a while, Elijah became frustrated. He says, "Yell louder. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's in the bathroom. See if you can get him to come out." But no answer. Baal did not answer him at all. Then Elijah prepared his altar according to the tradition in which Israel was supposed to prepare an altar. He prepared the sacrifice. But he did something unusual. He told the people of Israel to douse it with water. Not once, not twice, but three times. And then he prayed. He asked the Lord to accept his sacrifice. Fire came down from heaven and consumed every single thing. Not only the sacrifice, but the 12 stones that were left there. Not only the 12 stones, but every drop of water was consumed. And the children of Israel, when they saw it, they said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." But I wonder, how many of you and I today are like the children of Israel? We come to church on Sunday and we love God and we say we serve God. But what do we do on Monday? What do we do the rest of the week? Do we really serve our God? I can tell you what many of us do. We'll sit on our phones and we'll, for hours, on our phone. In fact, we'll sit in front of the tube for hours and watch the tube. What are we doing? We're serving our gods that we would prefer. Now, I'm not saying that you can't look at your phone. Please don't hear me say that. And I'm not saying you can't watch your favorite show on television. But we must ask, whom do we truly serve? You see, God does not want sometimes our faithfulness. He wants our faithfulness all the time. In every situation of our lives, he wants us to be faithful. Here's my second point, kept by the Lord. The psalmist says, the Lord is your keeper. Just as the Lord keeps Israel, it is important for us to understand he also keeps you and I. In fact, let me ask you a question. As you look back in your history, can you see a season in which the Lord has kept you? That he has protected you from the difficulties and the challenges of your own life? Or even in the midst of your difficulties, he's made a way out for those difficulties. As I was preparing this, I thought about, Lauren and I were talking, and we talked about a couple of things that we have seen the Lord minister in us and to us. In fact, it was December 14, 15 years ago. I was still in school. In fact, some of you say, yeah, he's always in school. I have felt that for a long time. But we were still in school and just trying to figure out how to make it. Our house payment needed to be made, and we just didn't have any funds to do that. We had a little money in the bank, but nothing that would help to make that payment. We were at our class at North Creek, and then later in that week, we had our annual Christmas party, and it was at actually our house. And that day, we had probably 80 people in our house, and so we had a great time. But it was interesting. I finally opened my computer bag, and there was $2,000 in it. All I can know is, I do not know where the money came from, but I know that the Lord provided. He knew there was a need, and I saw his hand. Also, going back a few years, I'm in school and trying to finish. And my wife, a school teacher, was not getting paid in the summer at this particular job she had. And she prayed, Lord, if you want Ed to continue going to school, you have to provide. And someone mentioned to her that Chinese Christian schools needed a summer teacher. So she worked in the summer, which enabled me to continue to stay in school. We are thankful for God's provision. He watches over not only Israel, but he watches over us, his children. Do we believe that? Sometimes we don't know what could be coming our way or what could be hidden in the hills or in the challenges of our lives. What we do know is that the Lord is with us. We are not alone. In fact, Matthew 28:20 says, as Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus is saying, in essence, I am with you to the very end. Not only your life, but the next person's life as well. I am with you to the end. Do we truly believe that today? In the middle of our challenges, do we believe that God is with us? In Hebrews 13:6, we read, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You see, sometimes we can be so fixed on the struggles we are facing that we forget we have a helper. We often see our problems as very large and overwhelming. But is it really that big when you think of the God who made, who created heaven and earth. Is it truly that big? As we continue in the Psalms, we see the same theme of protection as the Lord is your helper. Who better to be at your right hand than the Lord who created heaven and earth? I'm also reminded of what Paul said to the Romans. He says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." You see, as a child of God, we have the assurance that nothing, I mean nothing, can separate us from Him. You see, we are protected from everything you can possibly imagine. We are protected. The psalmist said, "The sun nor the moon will strike you." We are aware of the dangers that come with the sun and its heat, which causes dehydration, heat stroke, and even death. I think what we can sometimes forget, especially here in California, that there's still a danger from the night. Frostbite that is also life-threatening. We have heard of hikers who have gone off for a short hike, so they call it to be, but yet they forget to bring enough water. They get lost on the trail, and now they are wondering, will we make it back? You see, these are challenges we all face. But what if the challenges we are face is not the sun nor the moon, but relationships? Because see, you can still feel the heat or even the coldness from another person. But the scripture says, that the psalmist says, "The Lord will keep you from all evil." He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you, keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So here's my third point. Your keeper is the Lord. See, God gives us His shade when the sun is beating down on us, when the heat is draining all our energy and what and wants to strike you. He gives you shade. When life brings you the frostbite of life challenges, He brings warmth, and comfort. Sometimes that heat and frostbite are the challenges you and I are facing in life that is draining all your energy. It's not the sun, it's not the moon, but it's relationships that are not going as you would like it to go. Matthew says, in Matthew 11:28, Jesus is speaking. He says, "Come to me, all who are labor and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Have you gone to Him for that rest? Or will you continue to carry that load yourself? We know life can be very difficult and brings many challenges in our daily lives. In recent years, when we all face the challenge of COVID, it put many of us, or many individuals, in a tailspin. And many people, even still today, are fearful. In fact, you see them who are still wearing their mask everywhere they go. My question is this: are we running to the one who can help us amidst our challenges? I'm reminded what Jesus said in John 14, 27. He says, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid." When we are resting in our Savior, we will find the help we need. He will give us peace in the midst of our challenges. Some of our challenges as individuals are that we do not like to ask for help. You see, I've been that person at times. I can do this. I got it covered. I can do everything in my own strength. But the problem with that is I am not resting in the one who wants to take care of me. There's just no peace because I'm doing everything in my own strength. And too often, in that scenario, we leave God out of the scenario altogether. Because I got this. So I'm a firstborn. As a firstborn, you'd like, I got this. I can do this. I didn't ask for help. But we are to rest in the one who cares for us and wants to help us. The psalmist goes on to say, "The Lord will keep us from evil, and He will keep our lives as we go out and as we come in until eternity." You see, this is an exceptional promise from the Lord. He will keep you. This is a promise you can take to the bank. In our world today, we have seen promises made and broken and discarded. Now, I'm old enough to remember the season when your word was your bond. In fact, you can make a deal over a handshake, and it would be seen as just as good as your signature. We are no longer in that world today. But we have a promise for those who have accepted Christ. It is in Ephesians 1. And it is so important for us to understand we do have an inheritance. In fact, it says this: "In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be praised of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee to your inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory." You see, we have an inheritance guaranteed to us, sealed by the Holy Spirit. What a promise we have. Do you rest in that promise? Do you realize that in which you do have because of your relationship with Christ? You and I know that life is not easy. It has many difficulties. But have you ever considered the importance of these challenges in your life? You see, Peter also speaks of this inheritance that is guaranteed by God for those who believe in his Son. But I like what Peter goes on to say. In fact, this particular passage has been so beneficial to Lauren and I when life was extremely difficult. I couldn't find a job for 3 years. Just life was extremely hard. We sold our business in 2007, couldn't get rid of the houses in which we purchased, but yet God sustained us. It was a very rough season. And my wife would ask, so what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I didn't know. It wasn't that I didn't fill out applications. It wasn't that I didn't try to get a job. I tried. But I'd go to apply for a job, and there'll be 300 gentlemen there also applying for that same job. It was a rough season. And so we began to memorize passages of scriptures that would help sustain us in the middle of these challenges. And 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 was one of those passages that was beneficial to us. It reads like this: in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We understood that for a season, this would not be forever, but yet for a season, he deemed it necessary. And because he deemed it necessary, I know that I must be faithful to him in the midst of this challenge. I don't know where you're at today. I imagine some of you have challenges that you're walking through even yet today. But do we understand the purpose of those challenges is to grow us, to mature us, that our faith would be perfected? We don't like the challenges. We don't like the difficulties in life. You see, what we want is comfort and ease. But Peter reminds us that it is in the difficulties, the testing of our faith. You see, it's in the testing of our faith that help us to understand the motives of our heart. What really matters? Do we care more about who we are in Christ than our comfort? Am I willing to go through difficulties and struggles, understand that he wants to perfect me, to conform me? I don't like the difficulties. I would like some peace and quiet occasionally as well. But what is his purpose? That you and I be conformed to the image of whom? His Son. That's what's important. So if I were to ask you a question, where have you put your trust? Is your desire to have a great portfolio that will take care of you for the rest of your life? Have you put your trust in your marriage or in your children? Or do you want to be recognized? You want your 15 minutes of fame. But if God were to test you today, what would that look like? If he took all those things in which you are holding on to and decided, I want to be first. Are you willing to go there? Are you willing to walk that path when life is hard? Life is difficult. So my conclusion, I just have a few things that I will just kind of recap. Keeping the right focus. Where are you looking for help in your struggles today? Kept by the Lord. As you look back, can you see the hand of the Lord in your life? Your keeper is the Lord. Are you resting in the Lord as your helper today? You see, as you look at the hills in your life, we can have some fear of what may be coming. For some, it may be a medical diagnosis from a doctor that you are fearing. And for others, it may be the failing relationship with your spouse or family member. To others, it could be a wayward child who has walked away from the faith and now is living in rebellion. You see, these are real struggles many of us will walk through and may be walking through even today. But I'd like to go back to the story at the beginning. You have this traveler who is now walking to Jerusalem with his family. He's gathered his provisions. He's gathered up his children. And now he's heading to Jerusalem. But yet he is still a few hours behind the rest of the group. He's now looking at the hills. But I want to let you know, he's not looking to the hills in fear. He's looking at the hills with anticipation. Why is he looking at it with anticipation? Because he knows who he's going to worship on the other side. He's going to gather with his countrymen, and he's going to worship the Creator of heaven and earth. No, he's not fearful. Yes, he still has challenges. Yes, his marriage is still not what he wants it to be. Yes, his children are still giving him challenges. Yes, he still has health issues. But he's excited to where he's going, because he's going to worship his Lord. What about you today? You've come here to church. What is your motive? Have you come to worship this morning? Are you willing to lay aside all those things that are troubling you? The marriage that isn't what you want it to be. The child who has walked away from the faith. The difficulties you're having within your body and the diagnosis you may have gotten, are you willing to put that aside and to worship the one who wants to meet your needs today? Life is hard. life is challenging. But see, I believe that traveler and his family was excited to be able to worship the God of creation. He understood. Yes, the sun may be beating down on me. Yes, it might be extremely cold in the evening. But I understand who watches over me. What about you today? I pray that you would understand you have a decision to make today. Are you willing to lay aside all those things that trouble you today at the foot of the cross? Are you willing to say, Father, here is my life. Yes, it is messed up. Yes, it has its challenges, but I'm willing to set it aside to worship you today. You see, I believe this one decision will help you see all of life. It will affect your thinking. Because when you see your challenges, you're not only seeing it through your own eyes, but you have a Savior who walks with you to help you in the midst of those challenges. The psalmist said, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? What do you see when you look at the hills in your life? Where is your focus today? Father, I thank you again for who you are. I pray that you would allow us to see how great you are and how small our very trouble is. Yes, life is hard. Yes, life is difficult. But we understand that we serve a God who made heaven and earth. And your desire, as your word says, that I will walk with you as you go out and as you come in. We have no need to fear. We do know life that can be challenging. We do know life that can be hard. But yet we serve a great God. A big God. And I pray today that we would learn to rest in you, that we find our trust in you, that we not look at the hills as something that to be feared, but understand who we are going to worship. May you continue to strengthen us today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.